KKKK0. Hello, and welcome to Inside the 610, and I'm your host, Mike Fursetto. And today, in the studio, we have Kwesa the artist. Kwesa, how are you?
I'm doing well, my brother. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Really nice to have you here. Excited to talk about your journey, how you got here, and all of the accolades that you've gotten recently, and all the projects that you're currently working on.
Oh, man, it's been a long road, but yeah, man.
All right, sounds good. It's just recently that you've been getting, I would say, noticed publicly about your work, content creation, a director, your music. Mm-hmm. I have to say it's a unique spin on that stuff in this area when it comes to like the hip hop world. Yeah. I would say your uniqueness is the positive message that you bring.
Yes.
You have some Christian-based, spiritual, religious-type-based messages to it, and it's actually really refreshing to hear that in the hip-hop space.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It wasn't an easy road to get there. You know, a lot of people didn't understand it at first, especially when I first transitioned into that. Because people knew me for other things. So when I made that transition, that was like, what? It was like a lot of shock.
You know, you talk about that transition. In your earlier life, you had some troubles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was a street guy. You know, I was in the streets. I had the time in the penitentiary involved in gangs and stuff like that. But once I started having children, I kind of like was the aha moment that there's more than life than what you know.
Oh, that's great. So it was the children that kind of woke you up. And even when you have children, it's still a hard transition to get to where you are now.
Absolutely.
How long ago would you say when you started making that transition?
I actually started making the transition when I came home from, I did 3 years in the penitentiary out here. So when I came home, my daughter was 3 years old. I missed the first 3 years of her life. Mm. And that stung, right?
Yes.
So I said, okay, I put a conscious effort into being a decent citizen. It wasn't an overnight thing. It took a few years to get there, but that's when I first started it.
You know, and I hope this could be some inspiration to other young people out there that are in that, you know, street mentality, street life, and think that it's going to be too hard to get to a better lifestyle. But I think they hope that sometimes it could happen overnight, but it takes years. It
takes years.
And I think you can tell them that it's worth it.
It's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it. You know, when I was in the streets, I never thought about a year from now, 2, 5, whatever, you know, but before one day you'll look up and like, yo, 5 years went by, like, whoa.
Yeah. Kind of puts life into perspective.
It really does. You
know, we're here for a short time and then transition to something else.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's really amazing that you're getting all these accolades and noticed, I would say publicly, the Allentown Film Festival. You won an award there, I think two awards, last year, 2023, right?
Yes.
And that's held at the 19th Street Theater in Allentown. You won for Best Music Video and Best Lehigh Valley Film.
Yes.
All right. So what was the music video and what was the film?
The music video was for an animated video that I did, animated piece called Still Dreaming. That was on my album, All Praises Due. The film was for an animated short film that I did called Going Rogue. I scored the entire film, all the music I produced, and did the animation for it as well. That was big because that one I got the mayor got to see that one, the preview that one, and it was on the big screen, like the actual movie screen. So there's a certain format that you have to format films to fit that screen. And it was just like a whole process with that. Still Dreaming was about, it was a song I did about a dream that I had when I was in prison in New York and Rikers Island. It was a real dream that I had.
Okay.
So, you know.
You know, that's another thing that I think separates you from other artists in this area. Not only is the message, but, and it all comes from your experiences, but you literally do everything from start to finish.
Everything.
You produce the music, it's your lyrics, and you produce the videos, you push it and distribute it.
Yep. Everything, every piece. That's why sometimes it may take, like, I look at guys and they're, like, funneling out content every week. And, you know, somebody asked me before, why don't I do that? And I said, because I don't have time to do that. You know, like, I do every aspect of it. If there's a sound you hear, it's called Foley effects. Like, when you're watching a film and you may hear birds chirping or people walking, you're not actually hearing them walking. Those are Foley effects people are doing. I do all of that, the titling, the color correction, every aspect of a piece that you get from me is done by me.
I got to say, the content that you do put out there, you know, on social media, it does have another level of professionalism, I would say. And I think
Thank
that's
you.
You're welcome. And I think that's why you're being noticed by very credible organizations like the Allentown Film Festival. You won an award at Movement Moves Media 50th anniversary of hip hop last year
for
a best music video. That was for Still Dreaming as well.
Absolutely.
And that had over 3,000 online votes, and you know, you got voted for best hip hop music video. Then recently you've been working on other, I would say, pretty big projects here and very impactful. One was called Journey Mapping, and you were the director of it. It's mm-hmm. a nationwide nonprofit group called the National Fund.
Yes.
And this project called Journey Mapping was funded by Walmart and Harvard University. Those are some big-time world-leading players right there.
Yes.
And you highlighted the struggles of the working class in six different cities.
Yes.
What cities did you go to, and what were your findings?
The first city I went to was Wichita, Kansas. And then from Wichita, Kansas, I went to Boston, Massachusetts. We was up there actually in Cambridge, because Harvard is not in Boston. It's in Cambridge. They will fight you over that.
They'll let you know.
From there, I went to San Francisco and then Oakland, because it's the same area.
Mm-hmm. Bay Area.
The Bay Area. Yeah. And then I went to Birmingham, Alabama.
Wow.
I also went to Chicago. Went to Milwaukee as well.
What were your findings in all the different, because that's a pretty wide geographic range, all the way from the East Coast to the, you know, middle of the country, all the way to the West Coast, north and south.
Right.
What were your findings? Were they similar, or did they all have different type of social issues?
They all have different type of social issues. Like the guy in Wichita, Kansas, he was brilliant. He had top secret clearance. He built airplanes for the military. He did all kind of things, like he built rockets, all kind of stuff. But he was older. So he couldn't get a job because places were telling him that he's too overqualified to get a job, you know. And then we worked with, if I'm not mistaken, it was undocumented people that come into the country and they're trying to find work. In San Francisco, it was such a heartbreaking thing to hear, because they said, you know, they struggle to get over here, and then they get here and they find jobs with people like cleaning their house and stuff like that, and people wouldn't pay them. You know, they'll hire them, and then you can't get paid. And then separating families, it was just devastating. And Chicago, it was like child care workers, people that, you know, that end up becoming child care workers. It was just a wide range of different type of industries with people. And it's one thing I would say that I noticed from that, the struggle is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we see with regentrification going on, that's happening all across the country, in every city,
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, especially now, you know, in this area, in the Lehigh Valley, we talk about gentrification, especially with the downtown developments and stuff like that. But I'm glad you brought that up, that it's not just here.
It's not just here. It's everywhere.
There's struggles everywhere. So what did you document any, like, solutions that other cities are doing, or were you basically just focusing on the struggles?
In Oakland, I got to be a fly on the wall in a very important meeting about helping people transition that come home from prison.
Okay.
And I met a few people that had just came home from doing a few decades in the penitentiary in California.
That's a long time.
But they have a system, they have a program set up that they had to get legislation passed and funding for. They have like a little small campus. It's not very big. It's not a large camp. Like, when you hear campus, you think big. It's not that big. It's a small. But they built apartments.
Okay.
They built apartments in there. You get to live there rent free for a year. And what they're doing, because in the Bay Area, a lot of people don't know, the Bay Area is ground zero for the tech industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of tech industry come out of there. So what they do, they've got these people in the training classes to get them certified while they're in this program, and then they get jobs within the tech industry.
Oh, wow. What a program.
Yep. Absolutely.
I think there's a similar one close to here in Trenton, New Jersey, called Homefront, where they almost do the same type of work, yep. where they have, like you said, like a campus where they have apartments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And their job there is to train them to get them hired in different industries so they could live by themselves. Mm-hmm.
Like that. So then they pay them while they're there, like while they're in this program, mm-hmm. they get a paycheck. I'm not sure if it was every week or biweekly, but they live rent free. They don't have to pay rent. They could just buy their groceries and stuff like that. It's an amazing program because as somebody that came home from prison before, I didn't have nothing like that. Nothing like that. I had to figure it out on my own. So for them to have that program in play, a lot of people will benefit from that. A lot of people.
I wonder if that's a possible, because that's an issue here in the Lehigh Valley too, Northampton and Lehigh counties. I wonder if that is a possible solution for this area, if we have enough funding, if we would have enough partners that would want to bring a program like that here.
Yeah, recidivism is the issue, because a lot of people don't want to. People think that when people come out of prison, they want to go back. Mm-hmm. It's no, it's because when life don't stop when you go into jail, when you get incarcerated. Yeah. So when they come home, the first thing that they're worrying about is, I need to find a job. I need a place to stay. You know, you need all pressure is still there. I have kids. I have this, that, and
the necessities first. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Some deep topics there. Let's move on to something else, because I know you're working on another project called the 10,000 Hours, where you're the director of it, and you're highlighting your own personal filmmaking and music journey.
Yeah.
How's that going, and when's that going to be released?
That's going good, man. I'm real meticulous about stuff, man. The first part, it's a docu-series, actually. I'm not sure how many parts is going to be in it yet, because it's a story that I'm actually still creating. I'm still creating it as I go. But the first part is about, it's highlighting one of my trips when I went to Chicago, my Chicago stop. And so it's highlighting my videography journey and my musical journey as well. So it's going to flip-flop back and forth in every episode between different things.
Well, I'm excited about that. Let us know when it's going to be released.
Yes, sir.
And if people want to listen to your message and watch you perform, you have another performance coming up at the International Cultural Festival, which will be on Sunday, September 22nd at J. Bernie Crum Stadium in Allentown.
Yeah.
You're going to be performing there, and it's always a pleasure to have you on stage.
Thank you. Thank you, man. It's always a pleasure to be on stage, man.
So what are you going to be performing there?
But I'm going to try to figure out how I can squeeze in 15 minutes my entire catalog, even if it's just like a hook of a bridge something like that. But yeah, man, it's gonna be pretty dope. You know, I'm always my brand is, you know, Christ content, so I'm heavy on that, man. So I will definitely be bringing my message when I touch that stage.
That's so awesome that you're comfortable saying that, because a lot of people in the hip hop community don't want to mention that, especially in their lyrics.
Oh no!
But it works for you.
It works because I've always been big on my music reflecting my life. Even when I was in the streets and I made street music, because that was my life. That's what I was going through. Then when I stopped that, you know, when I'm not doing that and I became heavy in the church, my music reflects that. So that's where my life is at, and that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like a perfect poetry almost to your life.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to get in contact with you to hear some of the projects or watch some of the projects that you're working on or already released or listen to your music, where can they find you on social media? How can they connect with you?
You can connect with me on Instagram. It's Kweta Artist Music. That's K-W-E, The Artist Music. You can follow me. I'm on every social media platform that there is. Again, that's Kweta Artist Music on Instagram. On YouTube, it's Kwesa The Artist, K-W-E-S-A, The Artist. My music is on every streaming platform. I even got videos on Vivo and iTunes and Apple and all of that, too. It's Kwesa The Artist, K-W-E-S-A, The Artist.
Well, I really look forward to having these conversations with you ongoing for this year, next year, and many years to come. Kwesa, it was such a pleasure to have you in the studio
today. Thank you, man. And I appreciate everything you're doing for the local scene out here, man. You're definitely doing a lot for them, man.
Well, much appreciated, man.
Yeah, definitely appreciate you, man.
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of hand-picked music on WDIY.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Inside the 610. I'm your host, Mike Frasetto, and now we have in the studio director Hitman, also known as Angel O'Hea. How are you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing today?
Good, man. I'm glad you're in the studio here. We just had Quesa the Artist in before this. Quite a journey he's been on.
He's come a long way. You know, people really know. You know. Shout out to him, man. That's my guy right there.
Yeah, so you knew him for a long time in Allentown.
Yeah, I've seen his journey. He's come a long way. Proud of him, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know what? When I hear his stories, that's one of the first times I heard about his story, but that's the first time I had like conversations with him. I'm really glad we had him in the studio. I feel like his journey, it has similar connotations to your journey.
Yeah, we come from places, you know, most people wouldn't venture into these places, and we fought our way out pretty much sort of, you know, to be community activist workers or just people who do things in the community for good, you know?
You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, I've done a lot of mentoring work in my last, you know, 20 years that I've been involved in the community, and that's a kind of like a common story that I could see. It could go two ways, where people get involved in the street life in Allentown, in the Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. They could get involved in the street life, and sometimes the ones that stay in the street life, some of them aren't here anymore.
Yeah,
and
most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the ones that are still stuck in that lifestyle wish that they weren't in it at an older age. And then there's a few of them, like yourself and Quesa, that were in that lifestyle and were able to get out. And now that you're out, you never want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds crazy probably to most people, but, you know, that's the way it should be. But a lot of people are caught up in the mentality that they won't be cool if they get their life together or something. The mentality sometimes is really ridiculous, you know, when you're coming from, like, the street level, you know, because but most people, their mentality is, you know, they're fighting for things that they don't own or would never own, just don't have the education to really know what they're fighting for or whatever. You know what I mean?
Quesa said that he said his kids motivated him. Some people need an internal motivator to get them to kind of wake up. What would you say was your motivation?
It's funny that he said that, because it was literally the birth of my daughter that changed my life because I was so caught up in that stuff. I used to actually be nervous to take my daughter in a stroller down the street because I'd be walking her, but looking around at the same time. You can't really live that life, man, and try to be a parent and somebody running around doing stuff at the same time. That's just not, you know, a lot of people do it, they think it's cool and stuff like that, but it's just not possible if you care. So I took that situation over the birth of my daughter, and I literally changed my life, man. I just didn't I didn't want to have to be. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy if you visualize it like somebody with a baby carriage, like you're just walking, or stroller, shall I say. And, you know.
Yeah, no. You know what? This is an amazing conversation right now, just, you know, on a personal level, because I have a 3.5-year-old and she just started school. And, you know, it's been an amazing, you know, that's a cool age, 3.5,
yeah,
you
is.
Know. But, you know, for you to say, here we are, and we're talking about like what I would say are cliches, you know, oh, when you have a kid, it's going to change your life. You know,
it does. You
hear everybody say that, oh my God, it does so much.
Depends who the people are. Some people have kids, you know, they stay the same. It doesn't matter to them, but there's a lot of people in this world, like their birth of their children changes their life. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, I think it just makes life more real. You know,
you got to get stuff together real quick.
Yeah, real quick. We don't got much time. Like, we got to go. Yeah. And somebody's depending on us.
Yes. Yeah. You have a human being that's depending on you to go find a way to get food every day, something every day. You know, it's a journey. It's a beautiful journey.
It is. It really is.
It's beautiful.
I would never have this conversation before 3.5 years ago. You know, I wouldn't really know. I could say, yeah, when I'm a parent, I'll be like this. No, you don't know.
You don't know until you're a parent. So anybody who's always like, yeah, you know.
If I was in your shoes, or when I become a parent, you don't know until you become a parent, man. Yeah, yeah. Because you just don't know your personality of your child. You don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
So how old are your child?
My daughter right now is 18. She's going to be 19 on the 23rd of September. Crazy.
So you went through the whole...
Yeah.
The whole childhood.
Yeah. The whole thing, you know, elementary, middle school, high school. Kids start changing, stuff gets cheap, stuff starts getting expensive. It's crazy.
I heard from 3 to 13, it's a big difference. Is that what I have to look forward to?
Yeah, big difference. When they start getting around 9, then they start realizing, you know, there's certain things and certain looks they want. Then when they get to like 13, then that changes. And everything they liked from 9 to 13, now it's like, I don't like any of that stuff anymore. And then everything changes.
So here, I'll tell you the big transition that I had with my daughter. All right, her name's Serena.
Yes.
So, you know, we've been going to Dorney Park, you know, maybe a few times this year. And, you know, we go to the carousel right when you come in, and then we go to Snoopy Land.
Yeah, I already know it. Dude, I don't want to ride on that anymore.
Oh, how'd you know?
I know it. That's how kids are. So, you thought you'd get in a little carousel, the little horse. Yeah. Baby's like, no. Let's go on the little mousy thing, the little roller coaster.
Yeah.
So.
She saw that. So it just happened last week. She started looking at the big roller coasters that were around Snoopy Land, and she goes, "Dad, I want to go there. I want to go there." I said, "Okay, you should go home for a nap. You know, it's past your nap time. We should go home."
So
she goes, "Yeah." She was like, "No, I want to go there." I said, "Where?" She goes, "That one, that big one."
Uh-huh.
So we started venturing out of Snoopy Land, and the one that caught her eye was the Thunder Creek Mountain, the log flume.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
She saw the splash of the water, and she wanted to go there. And I was like, "No way. You're not tall enough, baby. We can't go in there." I couldn't believe all you have to be is 36 inches. Go on that ride. That's like a 2-year-old. You can't even, like, 36 inches. I caught fish bigger than that.
I think that's the one you're talking about where it's not the huge log one. Yeah. It's the little one, smaller one.
Yeah,
that one is weird. That one is like a child who's really small can, like, I think that's the one we like getting is like a rubber seat and it has like
it looks like
leg room. That one's wild. They don't care. They're like just sit down.
She I was so surprised and she was so excited. We got to the top where it's like that 80-foot
drop down.
She got stiff as a board. I was holding her in my front eye because I was like, "Oh no, I hope she doesn't fly out here." But she had so much fun. But it's like once you do that, like opened up Pandora's box.
Of course.
Never going to go back to Snoopy Land.
Nope, it's over. Snoopy doesn't have any water that splashes on her. She's like, "No, I'm done."
All right. Well, hey, man, thanks for coming in the studio and talking about this fatherhood stuff. I don't get to talk about it much. So I do want to put the focus back onto you.
Yeah, no problem.
Because your journey has been great, and I know I've been working with you for at least the last 5 years, and it's been amazing seeing how you progressed as an entrepreneur and as mastering, you know, the content creation side of things. You've worked on some very important projects. You even worked on political content for some local politicians that helped them get into office.
Yes,
I really think it was very effective media that I saw. You helped young people get into office. I know you created content for them.
Yes.
And that was like one of the first times, you know, young people in Allentown started running for office.
For anything.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you were always involved in helping them out, which is amazing. A lot of people would say that's a big hands off. I'm not going to do anything politics. But you were like, "Yeah, I'll do it. And if it's for a good cause and helping young people get in." Why do you think you stepped forward and said, "Yeah, I'm going to help these young people get elected"?
Because politics are a world that's a part of all of us. I don't necessarily live in that world per se, but I do know we need change in that world, you know, to a certain extent. So anybody who's young, you know, I have nothing against older politicians or whatever, but a lot of things you hear are like older politicians are kind of caught up in their ways, and a lot of the ways aren't the ways of today's world. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, I think we need to get, you know, some younger people in the office in these positions to try to give a different perspective so people can understand, you know, to try to push for the next generation of what they may need, because as those older people are starting to die out, you know, our old school policies, I don't know if that's really going to be effective for the new generation. So that was basically one of my main reasons, you know, is just try to get some fresh blood into, you know, the old cesspool, I guess, per se. You know?
It's amazing how you just described that in such layman's terms. It's like it was such a simple reasoning of why you wanted to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't take much, man. That's just what I was thinking about. Like, let's do it.
And, you know, that's like the power of the content that you create, or any content creator out there. That's the power behind it. Like, it could really, if you take on projects like that, it could really change the course of a city and a community.
It can, because when I first stepped into it, I didn't expect anything. I actually didn't think anything was going to happen. I just got to be honest. And, you know, we had a couple runner-ups. You know, we have somebody sitting on city council now. We have a school board member. We had a state representative runner-up, you know. So we made some history, you know. We made a couple moves, and it's beautiful to see that, you know, in the end.
And you know, I have to say, just knowing the young people that you worked with in mm-hmm. politics and you helped them get elected, they inspired other young people to get involved, because exactly. They were like, now it is possible to do.
Exactly. I just ran into a good example is Serena Torres. I just ran into her a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I'm happy. She didn't get her position, but she got a nice little position in her life for like a job and stuff like that. So
in politics.
Yeah. So you may not get the seat, but you can get something else around it if you really, you know, if you're about that life or want to step into that world. So it's definitely it makes me feel good to know that I'm not, you know, obviously getting these people the job applications, but, you know, I have a little foot in their path, per se, you know what I mean, of where they're going or where they're gonna go. So for me, from where I come from, that feels great, to be honest with everybody.
That's amazing. And it seems like that's where a lot of your work has been going in the last, I would probably say, year, mm-hmm. that I've noticed, where you're working a lot more with younger people, and you've mm-hmm. been doing a lot of work with the Allentown School District, especially with their sports programs or after-school programs. Mm-hmm. How has that experience been for you working with the Allentown School District?
For me, it's been great. I couldn't ask for anything better. It kind of, you know, I don't want to say like changed my life. It's not life-changing stuff, but like having my relationship with the students and building a relationship with the administrators, because when I first stepped on the scene, I didn't make an announcement. I didn't call the AD's office. I just showed up and started taking pictures and representing these kids. And then I started, you know, making articles about it, and kind of like news clippings. A lot of people would say like my posts kind of like news clippings, just writing what I've been through that day, you know, what the kids were doing on the field, and just pushing it for like over a year. And it got to the point where like the mayor's wife started sending me messages like, thank you. And then the next school person started contacting me like, thank you. And then it got to the point where it's like, I go down there now, like to the backpack bash a couple weeks ago, like the administrators and school board members know who I am. I don't even barely know who they are, but they know who I am. That just shows just making an impact. And it's just a picture, some video clips, you know, stuff like that. But I just love it more or less for the parents and the students. Like, the messages I get from, like, parents, like, thank you for just taking a picture of my child. It's like, that makes me feel good, you know, and especially from the kids when they send me a lot of messages thanking me and stuff like that. It's just a good feeling, you know, to give back to our community, that community. You know, I know Allentown. I went to Allen. I know what these kids are going through. A lot of people look at the district from the outside looking in. They don't understand. A lot of these kids are like, they're like the mom and dad when they go home. A lot of them don't have anywhere to live. A lot of them are living in hotels. A lot of them don't have anything to eat. I was one of these kids. I lived in a domestic violence shelter when I went to school. So it's like, we don't know what these kids are going through outside of the school. So I want to always give back, because if that little picture can make so-and-so feel great for the day, that makes me feel good, you know, so... It's a beautiful thing, brother.
That's great stuff. And it's been so long, you know, I know the Allentown School District really didn't document or journal a lot of the kids' journeys, especially in sports. So for the public to be able to see content of yours journaling it, it's really nice.
Yeah, because Allentown was behind the eight ball when it comes to that stuff. You see Parkland, shiny, beautiful pictures and videos. You see Emmaus. You see Catasauqua. You see Bethlehem. You don't see Allentown. You don't see our kids. Something about that just bothered me. And this is not anything against the district, because maybe they've always wanted to do something. I don't know, but I've never seen anything. And it's just like, our kids deserve it. You know, they want to go to college. The recruiter might want to see a tape or a picture or something. Like, did this kid even play? I don't know. We don't see anything. They need stuff like that. So it's a blessing, man.
Well, Angel, thank you so much mm-hmm. for doing that work in the community. I hope it sounds like you're going to be continuing that good work in the community in many years to come. And thank you so much for coming into the studio. If people wanted to connect with you online, where could they contact you at?
You can find me on Facebook at my personal profile, Angel, last name spelled O-J-E-A. As far as my business, it's A, Director Hitman Film and Photography. You can Google it or you can type it in any social media and I'll pop up. You'll know it's me because most of the profiles will have like yellow banners, yellow. Yeah. You'll see something. That's my company color, yellow and black. So you'll see me. You'll know when you get there.
Angel, thank you so much for everything you do.
No problem. Thank you. Have a blessed one.
To all the listeners out there, thank you so much for listening in Inside the 610 tonight. It was an incredible day in the studio having Queso the Artist and Angel Ojea at WDIY 88.1 FM.
If you enjoyed this program, you can hear this episode and more, along with our other public affairs programming at WDIY.org, on WDIY's free mobile app, on your favorite podcast platform, or live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WDIY.